I can offer you freedom. You need freedom. And I can offer it to you. What do you think of that? If I offer you freedom, what would you say? I think the first thing that would come to my mind is, what freedom? Why do I need to be free? Do you need to be free? I'm speaking to Christians, so you do know you need to be free. But in general, in Australia, when people ask, you need to be free, they would get a weird look. They would think, I don't need to be free. But what if I were to ask that question? What if I were to offer that freedom in a country like North Korea? What would they say? They would jump at the first opportunity. In a heartbeat, they would say, give it to me. Especially if it's free. We all like to be free. We all like to have our own way. We don't want to be restricted in what we can do, right? We all want to be able to determine what we can do and what we won't do. And if our freedom is challenged, we would really fight to the death, even possibly, to keep that freedom. And that is why when someone accuses us of being enslaved, when someone says, you need to be free, we don't like it. Because being enslaved, being the need to be free, means that I am captive to something else. And we don't like being captive. We don't like to be slaves of anything or anyone. That is why when Jesus says that the truth will set you free in verse 32, it was offensive to the Jews. They didn't like it. They hated it. They hated being told that they needed to be free. For to be set free means you need to be in slavery of something. That you are you're captive to something else. And to the Jews who took pride in being the people of God, this was not what they wanted to hear. This was not something they liked to hear. That is why they respond in verse 33. We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. But did the Jews get it right in saying such a thing? Were they right in claiming that they were never slaves? No. Because, firstly, what's wrong to claim they were always free, isn't it? I mean, their whole history is about slavery. Right in Exodus, when they first became a nation, well, how many years were they in slavery for? 400 years. And in the book of Judges, it seems like it's every other year, every other period that they're in slavery to someone else. Someone comes in every other year, kicks them in where it hurts, and takes them over. Right? And that's the story of Judges. And towards the end of the Old Testament, what happens? Towards the end of the Old Testament, the Assyrians comes in, takes away the northern kingdom of Israel as slaves. And a bit later on, the Babylonians come in and take the rest of them as slaves. They were in perpetual slavery right throughout history. And even at this point when Jesus is speaking to them, whose rule are they under? The Romans. They've been under the rule of the Persians, the Greeks, and now the Romans. And they're claiming they have never been slaves of anyone. Isn't that amazing? Based on their own history, they could not claim that they were never slaves of anyone. Now, secondly, they claim to be the descendants of Abraham. They thought this would give them special privileges from God. But being physical children of Abraham means nothing if you do not do what he did. If you do not follow his ways, if you do not follow his example, being his physical children means nothing. Look at Ishmael. He was a physical descendant, but what happened to him? When God sent his messengers to Abraham, what did Abraham do? Abraham welcomed them, received them as God's messengers, as his angels, and received their word as being God's word. But what is Jesus claiming to be? What does Jesus say to the Jews when he came? He says that he was sent by God. He is God's messenger, and he has come to tell them God's truth. And what did the Jews do? They rejected him. They were not following the ways of Abraham. They were not being Abraham's children. They rejected Jesus. And they even desired to kill him. That is why Jesus replies in verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Not only were they physically restricted by the Romans, but spiritually as well, they were slaves to sin. The Jews got it all wrong on both counts. They were totally wrong in claiming they were free. They needed to be freed. And this is our reality as well, isn't it? Living in Australia means we are free to do as we want, practically. Practically speaking, we can do it as we please. There aren't any oppressive laws that severely restrict how we are to live. We have good prosperity and good opportunities in Australia. Living in Australia means that we are counted as rich in most of the countries around the world. Most of the countries would love to be in our shoes. We are rich by any standards. But the problem is this true freedom that we are enjoying in Australia? Yes, we live free lives, but when it comes to our relationship with God, are we free? Are we really free before God? Jesus says that everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And everyone who sins is worthy of God's judgment and punishment. Are we truly free when we have the threat of God's anger and judgment hanging over our head? Are we truly free when we have this horror of facing God in the end? Are we truly free when we cannot do what we were created to do? For you see, we were created to do God's will. We were created to follow His ways. Our purpose in life as creation of God was to serve Him and honor Him. Being slave to sin means we cannot do these things. Being slave to sin means that we stand opposed to God, that we cannot do what we were created to do. Even our hearts have been fooled into thinking freedom is living apart from God. And this is the lie Satan sold to the world. And this is the lie we have bought from him. Every time we give ourselves over to our sinful desires, we show that we are slaves to sin. The world says, gambling is not sin. Being drunk is not sin. It's all a bit of good fun, isn't it? It's all good fun to pass the time, to have a party. There is no harm in it. The world also says that sex in all orientation and practice is not a sin. As long as it feels good and right for you, there is no harm in it. Who are you to judge what I do behind the curtains? In fact, sex is the best way to sell products, isn't it? Right? I mean, that beautiful young half-naked lady standing next to the car will make that car go faster. Doesn't it? Faster after the whole, that's right. But is that the truth? The world has dumbed down sin and its effect. They have forgotten or ignored that sin kills. It affects every aspect of our lives. Our self-esteem, our relationships, and most of all, our standing with God. Sin destroys all of that. Gambling may be fun for the first few times, but how many lives have been ruined by it? How many relationships have been ruined by it? And the world calls it our free choice. It calls it our free choice to do what we want, to make us feel good about ourselves. But being free in the worldly sense is no freedom at all. All that we can do with our freedom is self-destruct. Where is the freedom in that? Where is the freedom in destroying yourself? Life without Jesus is no life at all. Life without Him is not free life. And that is why we need to be set free. Set free to do what God desires us to do, not what our sinfulness wants. Now the thing about slavery, was that there was opportunity for people to be set free. Slavery means that it does not mean that you are perpetually slaves. There were cases in the past, in history, that people were set free. But the thing is, to be set free is not running away from your bondage. Being set free does not mean that you escape your owners, your masters, and run away to live somewhere else. Because you are marked as a slave. And unless you have a certificate to prove that you are free, you are still in bondage. And anyone who catches you will take you back, either kill you or severely punish you. It is no true freedom if you run away from it. You need to be set free. You need to be set free from someone else, external from yourself. Because you cannot do it yourself. No matter how hard you try, no matter how far you run away, it will catch up with you. You need to be set free. And that person who can set you free is someone with authority, someone that is external to you, someone that is not part of your situation as a slave. We need our owner to set us free. And the Son of God, has the authority and has the power to set us free because he is the member of the family, not a slave. His situation is totally different to us. We are slaves, but he is a son. And when the Son sets us free, we are free indeed and forever. True freedom from sin is not achieved by our works. We cannot run away from it. Otherwise, the Jews would have been right in saying they are not slaves. Because what did they have? They had sacrificial system to actually try to cleanse them of their sins. If you can be freed from sins by your works, then that should have worked. That sacrificial system should have worked. But it didn't. Freedom from sin is not something we can claim or purchase by ourselves. Freedom is what is given to us by grace and not by works. The Jews thought they believed in Jesus. They thought they knew who he was. But the Jesus they believed in was not what Jesus was saying. The Jesus they believed in was supposed to affirm their Jewishness, to say, you are doing good, you are right in what you are doing. You are free because you are doing the right things. That's what they expected Jesus to say to them. They saw his miracles, they heard his teachings, they knew he was powerful and authoritative. But they had failed to see that he was the Savior come to liberate them from their sin. They had failed to know and grasp the truth of who Jesus was and what he came to do. Because the truth that Jesus had been teaching over and over again is that he was sent by God, that he came to free the slaves from sin. He had come to offer life and freedom, and all that was needed was to accept it, to receive it, to follow Jesus, to trust in him. That is why we need to be true disciples of Jesus. For apart from Jesus, there is no life or freedom. If you are not following Jesus, there is no life. If you do not believe in Jesus, there is no freedom. You will be bound and bondaged to sin. We cannot be like the Jews who believed that what they wanted to believe. We must hold on to what Jesus teaches us. And this was where the Jews got it wrong. And where we can get it wrong as well. They believed in the Jesus they thought they knew. They had an idea about Jesus. And they believed in that. And not the Jesus that he was revealing about himself. They had failed to truly believe the very words of Jesus. Even though it says in verse 30 that many believed him. Jesus calls his hearers the children of the devil. In verse 44. Now, if Jesus was speaking about two different groups, this conflict of information in verse 30 and 44 wouldn't have mattered. I mean, he must have been talking about different people from verse 30 to 44. But if you think about the context of what is being said, especially in verse 31, who Jesus is addressing in verse 31, we need to reconcile the fact that Jesus is actually speaking to the many believers. In verse 31, he says, to the believers, he is speaking to this about these things. And the context hasn't changed. It doesn't change from verse 31 to 44. They are the same group of people. The people who had believed in Jesus in verse 30 are the same people who Jesus calls the children of the devil in verse 44. So the issue for us is, how does someone go from being a believer to being called a child of the devil? And if it can happen to the believers in John, then does this mean that this could happen to us as well? Does this mean that we believers can actually be accused of following Satan? Are you following Satan? Now for us to understand what is happening in between verses 30 and 31, we need to go back to another passage, a previous passage where a similar thing happened. Back in the end of chapter 6, Jesus spoke about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Now, for any sensible Jews, this was a detestable thing. This was something very offensive. They didn't like to hear it. I mean, for a Jew, touching a corpse, touching blood, was bad enough. It made you unclean. But to eat of it? That was offensive. That was not good. To touch and eat a corpse was not what they wanted to hear. It was repulsive to them. So we read in chapter 6, verse 66, from this time many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Who did not follow Jesus? Who stopped following Jesus? It was the disciples. The disciples, and by definition, disciples are followers. They follow and learn and live with their master. It is the disciples who had left Jesus back in chapter 6, verse 66. The disciples were the ones who were offended by Jesus. Those who had followed him for a long time, hearing and listening to his preaching, they rejected him. Yet we read in verse 66, many, in fact, everyone except the 12 left Jesus. Even though they were called disciples, every one of them, except for the 12, left Jesus. And Jesus explains this phenomenon, explains this event in verse 65. This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. Only those who God calls can truly follow Jesus. Following Jesus is not simply believing in what you want to believe. It is not simply saying, I'm following Jesus, and not doing what he says, and not believing what he is saying. It is following what Jesus says about himself. True discipleship, true belief, is believing what Jesus says about himself, not what we make up. So simply put, those who had believed in verse 30 of chapter 8 would have been like the disciples of chapter 6. They were not true disciples. They were not true believers. They had believed in what they wanted to believe. They had followed what they wanted to follow. They had let go of the truth that Jesus was revealing to them. So what does this mean for us? We need to be very careful in reading our Bibles. We need to make sure we believe the right things about Jesus. That is why church is so important. Coming to church is so important. Doing Bible studies is so important. Quiet times, reading your Bible in your own quiet times is so important. Unless you are in God's Word, how will you know who Jesus is? Unless you come to church and are taught, how will you know what the truth is? And unless you actually study in Bible studies and learn and struggle with what the Bible says, how can you know the truth? Unless we hear God's word carefully, unless we hold on to his word, how can we remain in him? That is why the priority of a Christian life must be to hear God's word. If we say we follow him and refuse to listen to him, are we being followers? If we say we believe in God and refuse to hear his word, are we truly his disciple? For that is what God's people must do, isn't it? Hear his word and do it. That's what being God's people means. That we belong to Him, so we listen to His voice and do what He says. As Jesus says in verse 47, he who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. When we are freed from our bondage to sin, we belong to God. We are freed to belong to God. We have been set free so that we can truly live as God's people. And what God's people must do is hear and obey. As Jesus says, those who belong to God continually hear His word. They continue to listen to Him. For the word here in verse 47 is not a one-off event. It's not referring to just that one time when you heard the gospel and heard and listened. The word here is a continuous, repetitive meaning. It means that you have to continually, repeatedly, day after day, every moment of your life, you must listen to Him. That's what the word here means in this verse. That is, we are set free to hear God's word every day of our life. Reading the Bible is not just for special occasions. It is not just when we come to church or Bible studies. Reading the Bible is for all of our life. It is what sets us apart from those who are still slaves to sin. People who do not belong to God refuses to listen to Him. People who do not belong to God do not want to hear His word or take any notice of what God says. They simply do not want to listen and obey Him. But we have been set free by Jesus. We were given freedom to desire God's word and obey it. True freedom allows us to hear and obey God's word and know the true truth about Jesus. And this is what sets us free. Jesus has set us free. He has freed us so that we can hear God's word and obey. So let's enjoy the freedom that Jesus has won for us. Find out what kind of God he is and what He wants us to do in our life. Read the Bible. Come to church. Do Bible study. Spend time in your home in reading the Bible. Reflect on it. Meditate on it. Be immersed in the Bible. That is where we hear God's word. And when you hear it, live it out. Obey it. You were freed so that you can obey God's word. Sin captured us, so that we could not obey God's word. But now we are free. When we hear God's word, we are free to listen and obey. We are freed to do what God says. So when you hear His word, do it. Obey it. Live it out. For that is what we were created to do. And in Jesus, we are free indeed to do God's will. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for Jesus, that He has set us free from our bondage to sin. Thank you so much that He freed us so that we can truly follow You and obey You. Lord, we pray that in our lives that we can be immersed in Your word, that when we hear Your word, when we read Your word, that we will not refuse to obey it. But Lord, please allow us to listen to it and put it into practice. For You have freed us. You have saved us so that we can hear truly and obey fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.